good to see everybody here today. Hope everybody has had a good week. It's been a lot of variety this year, I must say. I was preparing for the lesson. I'll turn it down a little bit. Some of y'all may have wanted to use your eardrums for other purposes this week, so. I always tell the parents, look, if your kids don't come up and adjust the speaker system at the age of two, you need to get them into a neurologist immediately because they're not developing correctly. So, but every once in a while, I forget to check that. So, and then when I start talking, it becomes very apparent. Been quite a week as I was preparing for the lesson and had my lesson down. I came across a news item last night that I thought probably needs to be mentioned because it affects, I believe it's going to affect us if we're not careful. It certainly affects us as far as our responsibility. And that news item was just this. The House of Representatives passed a bill, I believe it was yesterday, concerning civil rights. Now, most of us that are my age can kind of remember civil rights, and I think everybody studied civil rights. I don't know anybody that's against civil rights. But in this instance, they perverted it by adding sin to it, to the law. And the sin that they added is this what they're calling gender identity right now. I hate to use these words lest we think that they are normal. They're not normal. They're perverse. God created them male and female. Didn't create anything in between. In the Old Testament, not only was homosexuality wrong and was met with the death penalty, but in the New Testament, homosexuality is identified as a sin, and we're told that those who practice it, who do not repent it, just like any other sin, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is important for us because of what's happening right now. This last week, they were interviewing some man in a dress. He was going to be one of the high officials, apparently, within the new administration. And part of this man's role, who identifies himself as a woman now, is to make sure that within the educational part of our health in the schools is to give children the opportunity to become girls if they're a boy or boys if they're a girl at a very young age. Injecting them with chemicals that will change them for the rest of their life, or mutilating them in such a way that they'll be changed for the rest of their life. Don't understand. This has nothing to do with civil rights. This is a sin. They used a great part of a proposal from a previous administration a while back to make it to where it became a criminal offense to ban boys from going in and showering with the girls at school if they were feeling like a girl that day. Criminal offense. They just passed this law to make this a criminal offense. They called it civil rights, put it on the same footing as if it was some type of a racial discrimination. That's why they used this bill, so that people would feel like somehow they were not right by opposing it. The reason that I think this is so important, it's about to go to the Senate. We need to be at the very least praying about it. We need to be thinking about this, and we need to be thinking about what our response is. Daddies, husbands, you need to start thinking about what your response will be if some boy walks into a restroom with your daughter, and what your responsibility towards that is. You're going to have to figure out a Christian way to handle it, but you're going to have to handle it. I know it would be nice not to talk about such things. I would far rather talk about we're all going to heaven, which I believe we are, if we're faithful. But I also believe that if we don't take our responsibilities now, why would we think that we would be pleasing enough to God to enter into His service forever when we cannot even protect the innocent today? And again, I want to say this. It has nothing to do with hating people who are different. But let me ask you this. Who hates more? The person who will take something that God says is a sin and will separate for all eternity and says, oh no, that's good. or the person who says, well, God says this will separate you for all eternity. It's a sin. You need to change. Who loves their soul more? Again, it's a thorny issue, and I realize there are different things that will come up. We do still live in Texas. The last time this was attempted, our governor came out with an edict saying this would not be implemented in Texas. But understand this, Texas is changing. It's changing with every day as people move in from places that they have polluted with their unusual thoughts. And they're coming and they'll vote the same way they always have, not realizing that that was how they fouled their own nest in the place they can't even live anymore. And again, I just want to say, we have to figure out from a scriptural point of view how we are going to handle that. You may handle it differently than me. I don't have a problem with that. But what I do have a problem with is when we stop calling sin, sin. And when we start calling standing for righteousness, sin. We have to be very careful. And even if this becomes illegal, we may have to decide how we're going to handle it. We have a really good school system right now. We have really good school board. We have really good administrators. The last time this came through, it was the superintendent that called me in. He showed me the paperwork on it and said, what can we do? We've got good people, but they need our support. They need to understand that. Now, having said that cheery little thing, let me go on to Luke chapter 12 and verse 4. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. I'll show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you to fear him. Well, we will have times like this from time to time, will we not, where it becomes illegal to live as a Christian should live. And you're just going to have to figure out how to live in the right way, but also how not to fear. We're afraid of too many things in this world. I think that's why we've gotten to where we are right now. One of the reasons we read the Old Testament is because we read of men and women of courage and of faith. What would have happened to the Jews had it not been for Esther? You remember Esther's first initial point when she saw that even though she was queen, they were going to try and annihilate all the Jews. And she was a little afraid to say something at first, but it was pointed out to her, who knows, maybe God has raised you up for a time such as this. Maybe you live right now and God has raised you up for a time such as this. Who will be the next Esther? Who will be the next Joshua and Caleb who says we've got to do what God says even if it may endanger us or we might perceive danger? Who's the next Joshua and Caleb? For that matter, in America, who's the next Washington or Jefferson or Adams? Do we have men and women who will stand for the right thing, for righteous things? Or will we just kind of hunker down and hope that we're not noticed and maybe people will leave us alone? When Jesus said, don't be afraid of those who kill the body, I believe there was an understanding there, especially from the rest of his teachings, that there would be persecutions for those who would take a righteous stand. And again, let me emphasize the righteous stand. But we're being made to be afraid of everything, are we not? I mentioned on Wednesday, they were just talking about the head of the Center for Disease Control in America, the one who had been saying, we got to get this vaccine out because once we get this vaccine out, we can start getting back to normal. And after they got the vaccine out, they said, I think it's going to take 2 shots. And by the way, go ahead and wear 2 masks during this time. And do this until the year 2022. But after they did all that, he came out and he said, even though you take both shots, don't think you need to be feeling comfortable going out to eat or going out to watch movies, going out in public. He said, if you've had shots and the people in your household have had shots, you may hug them and you may not have to wear a mask in your house. What are they doing? They're trying to make us too afraid to live. This is a bad disease. I don't know where it came from. I'm starting to wonder with the way that people are using it to control people. This is a bad disease. But it's nothing compared to the spiritual disease that seems to just be settling on America right now. I'm going to take care of my physical, but the spiritual, well, it's not quite as serious. We do need to be cautious, and different people will act with different precautions. That is one of the beauties of having a freedom of choice as a Christian. But this idea of being made to fear is a ploy of Satan. And we've got to get over this idea of being so afraid to even live that we cannot serve God, or being so afraid to speak up when we see things like just happened yesterday. We do need prayerful consideration, and we need to think about what we're going to do, and then we need to have the courage to do it. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 49, there's a situation where a man actually lost his little girl, his daughter. And when the people came up to tell him about that, he had gone to go see if Jesus could help him. And Jesus was still speaking. Verse 49, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she'll be healed." We've witnessed two families, mamas and daddies, who have lost little children this past year, just unhappy. It's a hard thing. And we don't have Jesus anymore to come and raise them physically from the dead. But we have to understand there's a greater principle involved here, eternity. We do get separated from time to time from our loved ones. And it's not an easy thing. But when Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe," I think this is the way we need to live our lives. Mamas and daddies, we need to raise our children so that they can be in a situation where they make the right decision for Christ someday, where they're in a covenant relationship with Christ. Until that point, they're saved, are they not? What was it Jesus said? "Unless you change and become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." Well, children are okay, but there comes a point, different probably for each one of us in our lives, where God realizes that we are responsible for our sin. We're not okay anymore. Take care of it. That's why the plan of salvation is so beautiful. You're lost, now you're saved. Take care of that. But once we've taken care of that, then even though it may rend our hearts, and it will, when we lose loved ones, we ought to be afraid that we'll never see them again, because if they were faithful and we're faithful, we will be restored for all eternity. Maybe a little bit different than it is here on earth. I hope it will be. It'll be better to not be afraid. In John chapter 14, this is how Jesus put it to his disciples when he let them know that he was about to die. John 14 and verse 1. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." This is one of the greatest keys to not being afraid of what's going to happen to you, is to trust in God. That's what he told them. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Isn't that part of fear? One of the worst parts of fear is it troubles your heart. And Jesus just said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in me. We trust in the one whom we follow. And when we do that, we don't have to be afraid of all these things. Do we have to be concerned? You bet. Do we still have to live in this world? Of course we do. Do we still have to take certain precautions? Of course we do. But we don't have to be afraid, and our hearts don't have to be troubled. One of the greatest gifts that Jesus gave to us is this taking away of fear of death. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, the writer said this, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We've been having a great class on Sunday mornings that Guy's been teaching on the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest things the Holy Spirit has done for us is he inspired the Word. He kept God's Holy Spirit, kept the Word exactly like he wanted it to. And through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is what the writer of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 2, verse 14. "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and look at this, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." That's what Jesus came here for, was to free us from that fear of death. Obviously, there's many things that are involved with that. But are you taking that? Are you taking advantage of it? Are you wondering when the next shoe will fall, or when you're going to get this, or a loved one will get that? Bad things will happen in this world. Part of the test are the vagaries of life, and also the fact that sinful people will bring sin into the world that will have consequence. But we don't have to be afraid of death. That's one of the greatest gifts we have. The theme last year essentially was we were planning on going to heaven anyway, weren't we? Not from an arrogant standpoint, but from a justified standpoint. God gave you the right to go to heaven. Once you have that in your mind, the most important thing to me is getting to heaven, getting my loved ones, helping them to get to heaven too, and since we don't have to do it on our own, we've got a good shot at this, and trying to help as many as possible, it changes our life. We're going through some different things in this last year, and Happy's had it easy. Let me assure you, the unemployment rate in America is at the highest it's been since the Great Depression. I know they're not reporting that, but when you look at how many people are out of work each week and continue to stay out a week, it is terrible. We've been very blessed in that. You're going to go through some difficult times, probably. Are you up to it? Or are you afraid of it? Are you determined to be faithful to God no matter what happens in this life? Or are you going to be so scared of what's going to happen to you that you can't even function? Because that's what Satan wants of us. I'm not saying that we don't need to fear Satan to the point where we'll just get right up next to sin. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says this, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Devil has the power to devour you if you're over there petting him. I like Mark Twain. Mark Twain could never have been a preacher because he was way too concise, although he writes big books. But Mark Twain had a saying one time that he said, "A man who carries a cat by the tail learns a lesson that you can learn in no other way." When you think about that, I don't think that Mark Twain was telling you, here's a great lesson to learn, go grab you a cat. He's trying to say, don't grab a cat by the tail, but if you do, you're going to get scratched. And you probably won't do it again. People get too comfortable with sin. I think that's what's happening right now. I think there are going to be a lot of Christians who believe, or at least people who profess Christ as their Savior. They may not be practicing everything correct, but I think there's going to be a lot of people who are believers in Christ who think that they can accept sin, that they can get right up close to it because they're magnanimous, maybe a little bit more magnanimous and open-minded than God. And so if somebody wants to be a homosexual, let them be a homosexual. Isn't that wonderful? Is what they think. We love everybody. I don't care what kind of sin they have in their life. We love everybody. But if we are too afraid to tell people that they have sin in their life that's going to keep them away from God and away from Christ, what good are we? That's not being a Christian. That's being on the side of Satan. This enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. This says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. And that really is the message for this morning. So we need to resist Satan, standing firm in the faith. You've got certain stands that you've probably already been called on recently to take, and I have an idea you're going to have a lot more. Maybe it's just a warm-up, but that's okay. That's what we're here for, isn't it? To try and help people. We can do it in a loving way. We don't have to be mad at everybody. But we do have to take a stand and be firm in the faith because you know your brothers throughout this world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. One of the things that I'm absolutely convinced is that once we start focusing on our calling here to serve God to the best of our ability, when we fail to come back to Him on His terms, that we're going to do pretty well, and we're going to be at our most able to help others. But if we allow ourselves to be petrified by the fear of the day, the fear du jour, whatever it is, and we allow that to stop us from serving God, there's probably going to be people whose souls are lost because of that. Because instead of looking at our duty to seek and save the lost, we're going to be hunkering down somewhere afraid that somebody might notice us. and that we might get in trouble. We have duty here on this earth. The question is, will we do it? The invitation is open. You might not be a Christian yet. The initial steps to obedience are very simple, to salvation. You hear the word. If you believe it, we're told you call on His name by confessing Jesus is Lord. We acknowledge that He's the Son of God. You repent of your sins. That's several things involved in that. I'm sorry. I did it, but I'm also determined I'm going to stop doing it, and I'm going to go in the direction of God. That's repentance. And then we're to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. No baptism, no forgiveness of sins. The others don't help us any, nor will it help us to be baptized if we haven't repented or made our confession of Jesus being our Lord, the Son of God. All these things come into it, and then we are saved. We're in a covenant position with Him. And then you walk faithfully unto death. What was it Jesus told to the churches? Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Are you doing that? If you have a need to become a Christian today, we would love to help you with that. If you need the prayers of the congregation or have any other needs that the church needs to be aware of, won't you come forward and let them be known while we stand and sing?